Back. We're back, but it's a little deceiving, gang, because every week I tell you, 230 some odd weeks in a row on a Friday, I tell you I'm two flights up from the kitchen where I get my coffee. I'm in the attic. But I'm not today. I'm not. The show's philanthropy and focus. Your boy's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector. I am not in my attic. If you were here with us last week, maybe you figured out why we're not in the attic. I was having all sorts of Wi-Fi issues. We hit a spot in the show where I tried to get to my porch to do the show. And my guest was interviewing himself for about a minute and a half. And that's not exactly what I was looking to have happen today. That is not how we're going to do things anymore. And because your boy's on the road a lot, I didn't get to really address the whole Wi-Fi in the attic issue. So we'll deal with that later. So we're here at my office. Shout out to Vanguard Benefits. This is our employee benefits agency. Talk about employees. We're going to talk about a lot of employee stuff today, but employee benefits agency, Vanguard Benefits. We help nonprofit organizations and for-profits, for that matter, attract and retain talent using creative benefit strategies. So I'm busy day on the phone later today with clients. So it worked out. So let's do it from the office. I am here with two new colleagues of mine from the Georgia Center for Employee Ownership, GACEO. I don't know how you pronounce that. Is it Gaceo? How do you guys say it?
GACEO, you were
Oh, you do
exactly.
you say the letters. Okay, good.
But you're giving us ideas, Tommy.
I would say, I don't know if it's Gaceo. I mean, now it sounds like a guy we know. Oh, you know Joey Gaceo from the neighborhood? It sounds like that. You know, like that's a guy we used to know. All right, listen, let's get after you. That was Matthew Epperson's voice. That was Marie Davis's voice. We're gonna get into the show. We're gonna have some fun. I'm already being silly. I don't know what I can't help myself. All right, so listen, are either one of you a singer?
Only in the shower.
Absolutely not.
In
You
the
don't want me.
shower, not even in the shower,
Oh,
Marie.
sure.
Okay. Okay. Got it. All right. Well, we're not gonna have to talk about people showering and singing, but the reason I ask is I sometimes just break out into song, and I have a theme song to the show. You heard like the instrumental part there, but you'll hear it when it comes back, and we'll talk about that. I used to sort of say to my folks who would come on the show, "Hey, listen, by the third or fourth break, we got to sing the song together." So we'll figure that out. Maybe we'll sing later on. All right, let's get after it. This show is philanthropy and focus. Every single week, I interview executive leaders and nonprofits to help them tell their story and amplify their message. Focus is spelled with a PH because I think it's cool and there's a lot more story behind that. But if you want to hook up with me, connect with me, Tommy D at philanthropyinfocus, PHOCUS.com, TommyD.NYC on the Instagram, the nonprofit sector connector on the Instagram, and the important, not that any are more important than the other, but very, a critical focus for me is hashtag ending the stigma together. We're ending the stigma around mental health. It's very important to me. Socializing that, I'm normalizing those conversations. So look up ending the stigma together on Instagram. Let's connect that way. All right, that's it. Enough promotional stuff. Here, let's get into the show. One last thing, actually, I just remembered. The New York City Imagine Awards was the other night, and it was awesome. 240 people in a room celebrating the work in the nonprofit sector. The Long Island Imagine Awards applications are out right now. Marie and Matthew, I'll fill you in on that when we meet next week, just so we could spend more time so you know what that stuff's all about, because it's cool, collaboration, connections, networking, the whole thing. But shout out to the team at Serini and Associates who did a wonderful job putting together that event, specifically my friend Kellyanne Serini and my friend Hillary Needle, who put that event together and do such a great, great job. All right, that's it. Enough. Let's get to the show. All right. There's Joey Gaceo is not going to be here. I just made that up. That's not even a name. That's not even a real person. It's nothing but the Georgia Center for Employee Ownership. I think it was Kathy Smith, who connected us from TNG, the networking group, and she knows me and we're collaborating. She's doing some work with one of my projects right now. And she knows me as the nonprofit sector connector. So she said, "You know what? You guys got to know Tommy D." And that's how we got here. We first connected on a Zoom, and I think I was up in the Poconos, if I'm not mistaken, with the family over the summer. And we had a cool call. So here's what I like to do on the show. And I told you both, I want to know, how do we get here? How do we get to this organization? But we'll start with your backstory. So, Marie, play or pass? Do you want to start with your story first, or should Matthew?
I'll let Matthew start.
Well done. Okay. Matthew, take us down memory lane, if you will. Your memories, because we don't know them yet.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do my best. So thanks so much for having us, Tommy. Pleasure to be with you all in the audience. So yeah, I'm Matthew Epperson, and I'm based here in Athens, Georgia. And kind of the way that I came to employee ownership was really like a lot of things in this world by accident. I was working on campus, so Athens, Georgia. I know you know that we're a music town, but a lot of people know us as Bulldog Country.
Okay.
And so I was a college student, and yeah, I was actually working on campus. I was working for campus dining, and while I was there, I just had a coworker who was like, there's just something about this like little weird grocery store over on Prince Avenue. I think you'd really enjoy it. And I was
Your
like, wait, I
coworker
don't.
said that to you, that you would enjoy the grocery store? Okay.
Yeah, he's like, go check it out. There's something about it. I think you'd really like it. And so what I had no idea about at the time was that that grocery store was a cooperative. And so the thing that was strange, well, obviously it was just that a bunch of weirdos are there, but I found my people, my tribe, but it had shared ownership, so the customers are the ones who own that grocery store, which I know y'all in New York are a lot more familiar with. Down here, we don't know much about sharing ownership of grocery stores when you're
Yeah.
just a customer. So I got plugged in as much as I could wherever
Customers,
I could.
you're not even saying the employees, you're saying the customers.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Okay. So wow, that's a whole lot. I came into this conversation expecting one thing and you flipped it on me already, and we're just getting started, which is great because that means we're learning.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you, what was it about that spot that your coworker was like, dude, you got to check this place out? Like, this, what was, because it maybe the vibe is the fact that it was custom, obviously, the vibe is the customer-owned thing and the employee engagement and all that. Like, what was it? What was the weirdness, so to speak? You know, because you said you found your tribe, you found your people, but what was the difference there?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think it was just the fact that like, well, there was a structural piece of it, which is that it was owned by its customers. But yeah, I think what that kind of grew out of was just like a very much a community-driven effort to secure local food, that we could actually support local farmers, and do that in a business that, basically we sort of thought of ourselves almost as like the 7 days a week farmers market, because a lot of us thought like, okay, farmers market, that's the Saturday morning thing, but
Yeah.
it could be a grocery store, and why not? And it's like, these are some ideas that kind of I feel like we've lost over time, right? It's like, let's have direct connection to farmers. And that was a huge idea. And the fact that, we had leadership from our community, right? That like people who were actually running the store were members of the cooperative. So that was a real introduction to me. It was like this idea that like not only was ownership in a sort of like a legal sense of like all these customers can own a store, but also they can be the leaders, they can be the board of directors, and be
Yeah.
responsible for the vision of this organization.
So let me ask you another question before we keep going with your story. Like, what, from the perspective of it feels to me like CSA, like, community sponsored agriculture, is it similar, or am I just because of produce? Is that why you think I'm being drawn there?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's very much like it's the CS, right? Community supported, and it's agriculture. So
Yeah.
it's a different way of doing it. In fact, many of our farmers have CSAs also. So
Yeah.
they're putting out, they sell to our store, they sell to the farmers market. They also have the box, the CSA box that people pick up. So absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So hit me a little further. So you're into that space. You're figuring this out. It's something, it was new to you. You didn't even know about it. And then now you're exposed to it. What happens next?
Yeah, so basically it was just one opportunity after another. So we had the opportunity for our employees that somebody who wanted to run could run for the board of directors. So that's what I did probably around 2011, and it was really like coming into leadership actually, really for the first time in my life. I'd never been on a board of directors. I barely knew what one was. So getting elected to the board was just a chance to kind of see the organization from that more like, that 30,000 foot kind of view, and to really find out more about. There's actually like a whole movement behind this, so it wasn't just us doing our thing here in Athens, Georgia, but we're actually part of a national movement, for people to take ownership within the food system, right, to create more access. And that's actually a lot of the history of, food co-ops, right? It's like back in the 70s, we don't have to go too far down this rabbit hole, but like accessing organic food was like very unusual and rare back in the 70s, so the food co-ops really made it normal. So it's a long tradition, and so I was just kind of picking up on all of that and learning how to be a leader that I found out about this whole sort of shared ownership movement. And then, it's kind of been a zig and a zag ever since.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna get into all that, man, because it's really gonna, that's what, that informs the beginning of your story for sure. And you have so much depth about this and so much knowledge about this industry and this work. So we're gonna get into all that. Marie, my friend, how did you get connected to this work? I mean, listen, I have a bio on both of you, and if I was gonna read the bios, that's boring and you didn't even need to show up then. So really, I want to hear the story through your eyes.
Okay, well, I too went through Athens. I grew up in Atlanta, so I am a Georgian. But spent my time in Athens getting a degree. I always knew I wanted to help people, so let me throw that in there. And got a social work degree, thinking I was going to go on to law school. But when I came out of college, a friend of mine, of my father's, offered me a job in the financial industry, and ended up going to work for a private security financial securities firm. Very well known in the Southeast, doesn't exist anymore. That's another story. But got my license and stayed for 10 years. And we had our own capital markets group who knew they created ESOPs. ESOPs started in the 70s. This was in the 80s. So I knew what it was and I
Right.
knew people that did it and I knew some of the companies. But, I just sort of forgot about it. I love to have my family and whatever. And what really got me here, Tommy, is that I ended up going back, not going to law school. I just, you get out there and you get a paycheck and you realize what you have to do to go to law school. I didn't do it. So I went back into the field of social work and ended up seeing such a tremendous need, especially I helped run a group home, a teenage girl group home. And I realized that people need directions so greatly that I started finding mentors for these girls, which morphed into creating mentor programs, running a statewide mentor program, and working for the National Mentor Network, which sounds like I'm running off the rails, but
No,
believe
not at
me,
all. Not to me, it doesn't. Not to these folks, it doesn't. This is the real thing. It's mentorship, it's connections, it's building relationships. You're right on. Keep it going.
So when I found out about this opportunity, they wanted someone young who could do the social media. They called it a launch manager. And I'm like, what the heck is a launch manager? But I was looking for a full-time job. And so I took it and I said, look, you need to have some forethought and give me a chance to really build some relationships, not just put this on social media. So I think that my background and the love of people and wanting them to know about this amazing tool that has gotten lost in space, this is what we're doing. This is what we're about. And we're going to talk about that more later. But you ask about me. My family's business was a family business. I grew up running the cash register, and I saw my family's business die with my parents. And so the tremendous draw of employee ownership, preserving legacy, if people know about it, I'll just put that. But what happened with my family business really is relevant to what we do every day.
Yeah, it's I gotta tell you, man, it's kind of funny that my life is the way it is, because I have a friend and client who just had a book come out called The Thriving Family-Owned Business. It just came out a couple weeks ago, and it's just funny how all roads connect and all things
Yes.
connect. And you talk about that background and family business, and it's just such an overlap and all the stuff. Her name is Tildett Varen. I cannot almost wait. I almost want to like stop the show and connect you guys right now, but we can't
I
do
gotta
that. That's
talk
not
to her.
how you definitely
I
have to.
gotta talk to
She
her for
has
sure.
an incredible story, and we'll make sure that connection definitely happens. We're gonna take a quick break, but before we do, I just want to read something. Over the next 10 years, more than 4 million U.S. businesses owned by retiring baby boomers will change hands or dissolve. Over the next 10 years, more than 4 million U.S. businesses is owned by retiring baby boomers will change hands or dissolve. And we have another way to do that, another solution. The show is called Philanthropy and Focus. The folks from GACEO are here. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Philanthropy and Focus.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills, on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
Well. I've been saying it's time for a new song. If the boy keeps sneaking out of the attic, we're going to have to change the lyrics to that one. Join Tommy wherever the heck he happens to be during the show. That's might be the new line. So I shared the website while we were at break, gaceo.org, gaceo.org. I'm actually going to pull it up real quick so we can look at it again, because I'm really taken by the numbers. These numbers are reflective of just what's going on in the state of Georgia. So 78,326 businesses with owners aged 55 plus in Georgia. That represents 887,000 employees, $35 billion in payroll, and $194 billion in revenue, right? So there's a lot of activity. It's funny, I was out last night. M&T Bank up here in New York invited me out to an event. It's a networking, a little bit of the schmooze, the whole thing, you know, and I'm talking to some of the folks. And there's so many businesses out there that are super profitable, super revenue generation and generating, and might not be super like exciting and fun, right? So like one thing, for instance, last night, I'm talking to this gentleman who owns an HVAC business, right? And then his son comes in and his son is in the roofing business. And I'm like, yeah, these things are not, I don't know if ChatGPT, if you're listening, ChatGPT, I don't know if ChatGPT is climbing on a roof and putting in shingles, right? Or doing duct work for an HVAC company, right? So there's a woman, she's kind of, not kind of, I guess she's an influencer, and her first name is Cody. I believe her last name is Sanchez. And she's yep. all about, you know who I'm talking about, Matthew? Talking about her on that Zoom, but she's like all about like getting involved and, you know, herself from an investment standpoint, but educating people on getting involved in these businesses. And in a lot of cases, you know, she's educating people to buy these businesses, right? But what we're talking about is having the employees become the owners of these businesses. So I want to stay on this point really quick. 78,326, you know, specifically you on your website are calling out those companies with people aged 55 or older. Let's talk about why you target that from a marketing perspective.
Okay. And Tommy, I do want to point out, in case somebody's listening and say, why do we care about Georgia? The GACEO, all the other state centers, for instance, Texas is TXCEO.
Yep.
It's pretty much that way. Our parent company is Employee Ownership Expansion Network, and it's EOX is the acronym. So if you go to the EOX website, you can see all the states and click on there. And on Georgia, it's even more interactive. You can click on each and on the others too. Thanks to Project Equity, who did all this work. You can click on the county. And I showed this at a state chamber, Georgia chamber meeting, where all the CEOs were there from all these little areas in Georgia. Georgia has 159 counties. It's so stupid. We can't figure out why. But anyway, so
it was stupid. Which part's stupid? Come on. I got to get to the joke.
Oh,
why it's stupid? Why do you have so many counties?
I wasn't around when Georgia was formed, but I had to learn them all in eighth grade. So believe me, I wish they'd had a whole lot less. But the point is that you can go to your county. And when I showed those chamber people how much was at risk with this 55 and over business, think about these little bitty podunk towns. And this is back to the silver tsunami. What's so important? Yes. They lose one mill. They lose one co-op grocery store. They lose one farmer in that town. They're cooked.
Right. So let me ask you this. So what I'm hearing you say is, if there's not some kind of succession plan put in place, many of these companies are just going to go, I'm good, man. I'm all set. I'm done. And on that Friday afternoon, they actually lock the door for the last time. you know, and where, you know, your solution is solving for companies just closing down. And if they do close down, it's going to negatively affect that community is what you're saying.
That's true. And back to my personal story, you know, everybody in Atlanta at least knew who my parents were and knew about their business. Closed doors, gone, no one knows, totally gone away. We don't want that to happen anywhere in any state in America. We want people to know that there's another option. Now, I'm going to let Matthew tell the story of there's so many ways to approach this, but we just had something happen in Georgia that I believe you have quite a few in New York, Employee Ownership Trust. And I'm just going to let him tell this story because he really found it in the first place.
Yeah.
Take it away, Matthew. Tell this great story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so, right. The Employee Ownership Trust is actually sort of our newest, you know, sort of a redheaded stepchild, you might say, just because it's the newest, right? It's just the youngest child of the sort of the three forms of broad-based employee ownership that we talk the most about. And just a quick note there, because, you know, we use that word broad-based, that just means applying to all the employees. So a lot of your listeners might be familiar with the idea of what's called a management buyout. That's typically the most common kind of internal sale to your employees, but that's when like a couple of managers, like sort of key leadership, takes ownership. So we're not usually talking about the management buyout form, we're talking about broad-based. So just with that kind of background of the conversation, yeah, so we've got a really fantastic group. Actually, one of the only, probably the only employee ownership trust holding company. That's a whole other level of complexity of this conversation. And I actually want to come back to it, Tommy, because that actually comes back to Cody, what Cody's working on with the Main Street Millionaire. But they've got an employee ownership trust holding company based in Utah. So it's Clegg Auto. Kevin Clegg and his brother are the owners, or originally were the single sort of solo founder owners, you know, two brothers. And then they've got these four stores, you know, so there's auto repair and a body shop. So they've been fantastically successful in Utah, but they're looking around because, you know, they're throwing off cash. They're a very successful business. And also they're very mission oriented and very motivated by helping people find their why. So that's actually their biggest thing. Whenever Kevin talks about, you know, Clegg Auto, you might say, hey, this is like a mechanic shop. What is this guy talking about? He's like, you know what? Every day you come to work, I want to know what your why is. And I want it to connect back to this work. And I want to help you find it. So much so that they had an employee who was like, okay, you know, I'm really listening to you, Kevin. I know what my why is. And I actually need to go reconnect with my family in a deeper way. So I'm going to move back to South Carolina. And you know what they said? They're like, we're going to make that happen. And not only that, but we're going to let you stay with the company. And we're going to go actually create an opportunity for you in South Carolina so you can take Clegg with you, keep your job, keep doing what you love, and be close to your family. So that's actually why we've had our first employee ownership trust acquisition in Georgia, actually in Augusta. So it's right on the border. Actually, it's funny a little bit. Another strange thing about us here in Georgia, one of our cities, Augusta, is actually in both states. So it's in Georgia and South. Yeah, it's in South Carolina and Georgia. But suffice to say, yeah, that Benjamin, who we just got the honor of meeting actually at our employee ownership celebration on Tuesday, was the beneficiary of that. So he's actually now the manager of an auto shop that's now called Regency Auto, based in Augusta.
That's awesome. So I got to just jump in and say a couple of things. See, so back to you, some folks, if you're watching the video, right behind me is that's our logo for what's called the Vanguard Benefits Hall of Fame Employer Awards, which we inducted our first class this year, and we're accepting applications for employers right now. I don't usually talk too much about Vanguard Benefits here on the show, but it's very relevant to what you're talking about, because what you just discussed, that's culture, man. Culture is queen, culture is king, culture is top dog, whatever it is, man. Bottom line. And when you have, his name is Kevin Clegg, you said, is that right?
That's right.
Shout out to Kevin Clegg and your team and your family and what you're doing out there, man, because you get it. You know, you just get it. And when any of us realize and reward and award our employees as the number one asset, which they are, then it's going to create a wonderful culture. And, you know, many folks know I spend most of my time in the nonprofit sector. So nonprofits are thinking this way all the time. For-profits are not thinking this way all the time, let's say. But interrupt me one sec. The ones who do, though, the ones who get it, those are the employers of choice. Those are the Hall of Fame employers. Marie, jump in.
Well, I want to tell a little bit more about that story, the point about the small auto shop in Augusta that had been there for years. The owners wanted to exit. They didn't know how to do it. They just wanted to get out. And so when Clegg Automotive said, "Hey, we'd like to buy this," we're going to leave your legacy name there because it's been there forever in Augusta. So it's still Regency Auto, and people still know who it is. They've got this wonderful new manager, and those employees are now in a profit sharing plan in a purpose trust. And thank you to our friends at Common Trust for helping this happen. So it's such a bigger story. People in Augusta are going to hear about this form of employee ownership because they left the name. They know the owners aren't there.
But they but the staff, the people that who've been serving the clientele, the community for years are still there, and now they have ownership is what you're telling me, right? Not to get into the whole holding company and trust and all how they have ownership. That's like another show, Matthew, and I promise we'll do a show just about like getting into the weeds, because I think that's, and maybe you don't need me for that. Maybe you guys are already having a lot of those conversations and dialogues on social, but this is a lot of this is new to me and certainly new to my listeners. By the way, we keep talking about Atlanta, and I know my friend Robert Rosner is listening. He would watch, but he's going to tell me he doesn't really know how to get to YouTube or Facebook or LinkedIn or anything like that. So Robert Rosner, you know, my friend for life, has been in the life insurance business for I think 52 or 53 years. Do you know Robert Rosner? Do you two know Robert?
I met Mr. Rosner. I'm
You
pretty
might have.
sure I did at an exit planning institute.
Yes, yeah, you would have. Yes, that would make sense. That would raise it. So he's probably going to text me right now because I don't always get to give him a shout out. But I figure if we're talking Atlanta and I don't give him a shout out, I'm going to have an hour long conversation and hear about it on my drive home later on Halloween. You know what I mean? So Robert, I love you. Thanks for always checking in. There's so many different things here because that whole thing with Regency now, it's like the guys at Clegg, they just really get it, you know, and that's a term I use, and I think it translates to most folks, but they just get it. They're like, this gentleman you said wanted to move, go back to the family. It was a, I think it was a, the manager's a man, right? Wanted to move, wanted to go back to family, and they didn't say, all right, hey, good luck, it was great, keep in touch, you know, we'll text each other. They said, no, let's figure this thing out. How, so what the ripple effect of that is so far, it's infinite, don't you think?
It is. And so this has worked so well that there are many employee-owned companies of different varieties that are doing the same thing. And the National Center for Employee Ownership, which is what people join after they become companies join, actually is starting a list of companies that want to be bought by an employee-owned company and employee-owned companies that want to buy other companies.
Go back a minute. Go back a second there. What, who is building this registry or list?
The National Center for Employee Ownership.
Okay.
And there's about almost 7,000 employee-owned companies in this country. And I would say almost all of them belong to that or to ESCA and or to the ESOP Association. They're just support, very, very important support groups. So they realize that these employee-owned companies have money and heart and want to save these silver tsunami companies and their legacy. So they said, okay, rather than have companies eaten up by M&A, we're going to have a list. And when these great companies have all this extra money because they're so profitable or they're not paying tax, whatever the reason, they can find a Regency Automotive and keep it alive and
That's
save
great.
those jobs.
I want to, when we come back from break, I want to go into the technical nature of how this happens and why, you know, somebody at that kind of the autumn of the winter of their career is ready to do this. But I really want to just talk about quickly before we go to break. Just give me a quick one, Matthew or Marie, about how these organizations end up getting stronger through this, right? Like, give me one where, because there's a video, a couple of videos. I was watching the videos this morning on your website, which the website is gaceo.org. But like, they get better, they're stronger, they're more profitable. Matthew, hit me with something on that.
Yeah, I mean, so one of our first worker co-ops here in Georgia is a farm that I much love called Love is Love Cooperative Farm. And you know, so originally they were just the five founding member farmers, and now they've grown to 20 employees. So they've been able to fantastically grow their company, grow their CSA, grow their sales. Absolutely. So everything gets stronger. It's longer tenure of those employees, it's more sales, happier employees, they stay longer. So yeah, it's all the things.
It just sounds to, and again, in a time where there are many large companies in this country that don't do the right thing by their employees, and maybe not just this country, let's just say the whole planet, that don't do the right thing by their employees. Employee ownership, equity. I mean, listen, I've been a business guy for a long time. I've been in sales for a long time. And when I worked for big companies, the thing that always killed me was I'm growing somebody else's business, man. Right. Yeah. But it was the deal. It was what I signed up for. I got a check on the 15th and 30th. They paid for my health insurance, some money in the 401k. I understood what it was, but I didn't like it. What we're talking about now is you literally every apple you pick, right? Every widget you make, every unit you sell is going to something that you have equity and ownership in. That is game changing. Just the mental piece on it.
Yeah, let me hit you with this, Tommy. So one of the architects of our movement is this attorney named Louis Kelso. And so one of his most famous quotes was, "The problem with capitalism is that there aren't enough capitalists." So what he was trying to say was, we're not sharing the ownership right.
Not enough people get to play the game. Not enough people.
We're doing this wage thing. We're not doing this capital sharing thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it just aligns those incentives. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Do you find that, I'm not trying to going to beat up some of the what would have been called in this country the oligarchs, but the bottom line is there are people who have tons and tons of dough, and then there's so many people who have nothing, right? This never makes it to like the highest level of companies, right? You can have stock options and things like that, but this type of program, and I say that was more of a question: does it ever get that high, right? Am I ever gonna? I mean, I can own shares of Amazon and I do, but if I work there, that's not going to be the same dynamic of a company that has 150 employees and everybody has a piece, correct?
Right. And so there's very many really large employee owned companies in this country.
There are. Okay.
But the biggest one with the most employees is Publix grocery stores. It started.
How many employees?
Isn't it about 300,000, Matthew?
That's right. Yep.
Okay. And there you go. So I stand corrected. There you go. Okay.
Okay. So the checkout, their parameters around employee ownership, maybe you have to have been there 6 months or you have to work 20 hours, whatever their ESOP is set up to be. And they are 80% employee owned, right, Matthew?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So the checkout girl is not going to make as much as the manager, but sure. Over time, she's going to build up her retirement. And I shouldn't have said she. I don't know why that came out of my mouth.
Because you said checkout girl. So it's okay. So
I did. But anyway, the manager is always going to have a bigger salary. But the longer that girl stays there, woman, whatever, she's going to build up that ESOP by the profitability in the company. And she's not going to have to worry whether she has Social Security or not.
Yeah. Is that in addition? Yeah, real quick. Sorry, real quick. Is that in addition to traditional like 401k and other things like that? And
that's right. Fortunate,
yeah. Okay. Good. So that's good. So this is an additional benefit.
401ks and an employee-owned situation.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. All right, we got to do this. You know, part of my show is I never take breaks on time, so that's what we did again. All right, let's take a quick break. Show's Philanthropy and Focus. Right back.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever wondered what truly lies beneath the calm? I'm Jacinta Yang. Join me every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Talk Radio NYC as we explore healing, self-discovery, and a space where science meets spirits to help you find peace in a busy world. Take a deep breath and tune in to Beneath the Calm, where every conversations guide you back to the calm within.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static, join Tommy in his attic.
you know, I'm all about solving problems, right? It's what it is. So solving problems. So here's what we're going to do. I have just renamed my office the attic. So now you can join me in the attic. So my office inside of our suite is now called the attic as well. So see, I tricked the whole universe. That's how fast I operate. It only took 2 segments for me to figure it out. All right, let's do this. I want to play a game. I wrote this in the chat for you. Let's hit the story. The employer group has options, right? So this employer, let's call them whatever name you two come up with. And you then let's play it out. So they have been in business X number of years. This is what they sell. This is what they produce. And this could be, if you want to, totally a real story. I want to take it from when you start talking to them and engaging with them, or rather when they start to engage with GACEO, what that looks like, because I'm on the website now. You have Employee Ownership 101, Become Employee Owned. So there's information there. Talk to a professional. So we'll go into all that, but talk to a professional. Then there's tabs for accounting, business appraisal. So it's talking about different industries and things like that, right? Or actually different services, I would say, for somebody who's looking to talk to a professional in this space. Legal, leadership development. I am so jazzed about you being on the show. However, I'm even more fired up about like the meetings we're going to have after this show, because I have like 19 people I need to connect you with. And I always have to go, dude, you're doing a show right now. You're not networking. So, but those who listen already know how that happens. So let's play a story out. I will follow your lead and I'll just ask questions as you take us there.
Yeah. Marie, were you there with Joma at the beginning?
No, but that's a great story. So, we could talk, let's talk about Joma, because they almost don't fit the model for, this would be a good one, because they are right there in Athens where Matthew is, and they are a niche construction company. They have between 25 and 30 employees, and I'm not going to talk the whole time, I promise, Matthew, because he knows them very well, but they didn't really fit the traditional employee stock ownership plan, and here's why. Don't have enough employees.
How many do you need for it to work typically?
At least 25. That's what they have. But that's iffy. And the reason they did qualify was because their workforce is very young. Because they went 100% employee owned, which is, I'm sorry, I got to jump to this, because our real goal is to get to founders such as the founder of Joma, John Newland, before they get old and gray and they want to get out. Because Mr.
Right. So what age is that? So how many years, let's say I own an insurance agency and I'm 47 years old, right? And I go, I want to be out at 57, let's say. Like, should we be talking already? Or like,
no, when you set up the business, that would be
okay, even better. From the jump, right? You know, start with the end in mind, right?
Yes.
So how am I getting out of this thing? Right. And again, our businesses become personal. They're a legacy. However, it's just a vehicle at the end of the day. Right. So we got to make sure to keep this vehicle in good shape and shine it up nice. So maybe somebody wants to buy it off us. Right.
That's right.
Or otherwise. Yeah.
We got a great article from the National Center for Employee Ownership called Who Should Own Your Business After You? And if we could get people to think on the entrepreneur side, or at least when they're like Mr. Newland, really young, I don't know, Matthew, 40s, early 40s. He's 100% employee owned. He's got all these wonderful tax benefits. And those employees aren't going anywhere. They are dedicated to him. They've got a long time in the workforce. So that's what made it right for them, because they got a young workforce. They're not having to pay out retirement anytime soon for all those employees. So that's what makes the center so important, is that, let's say it's a co-op. I'm not a co-op person. I'm learning, but I'm going to call up Matthew, who's the expert, and say, talk to this company with me, because they're interested in that model. So Joma would be, if they had come to us first, which they did not, but that they didn't know about us. So we would have them speak with other employee-owned firms in the construction business and small firms. If they were interested in being a co-op, Matthew would have been my first call. And so we give them those options and say, what is your ultimate goal here? Well,
Let me stop, because I want to understand, because I'm getting a little bit lost in the acronyms and stuff like that. So I think others might as well. So we just define a couple terms like ESOP, co-op, and then Matthew, you want to hit those on tech side?
Yep, absolutely. So it's interesting. Maybe the easiest way to think about it is sort of like the difference between direct and indirect employee ownership. And what I mean by that is there's indirect employee ownership because there's some kind of an instrument. It's a legal instrument called a trust. So if there's a trust that actually takes ownership of that business, usually gradually, but it could be all at once, like kind of Maria is saying with Jomo, where it suddenly became 100% owned. It could also be in parts. So that's an important part for the audience to understand. But if it's mediated by a trust, right? So there's some kind of a legal vehicle that's taking that ownership and then it sets it up so that the employees are beneficiaries of the trust. So that's how they exercise their ownership, is that over time, the increasing value of the company gets reflected in things like the value of their ESOP account, which is again is a retirement account. So that's what's crucial to understand about an ESOP, right? So it's a qualified retirement plan similar to a 401k, but it's unlike your 401k that's invested in lots of companies, ESOP is just invested in your company. So it's only one, right? So that's the ESOP. The worker cooperative, these can be any size. So the other two, you know, but this is getting to be direct ownership, right? So with the worker cooperative, this is where each employee has a direct share. They have a named account that's in their name. They're sharing profits usually on an annual basis. They distribute profits in a very particular way that fits a cooperative called a patronage dividend. But it's a direct ownership, right?
But let me
And then
stop. Let
he
me stop here just to get clear on this. So the first example is where there's actually like it looks there's a structure like a you call the trust like a 401k like there's the assets are being managed, it's separate and apart, and that's for like I can access that down the road
Correct.
versus this other the cooperative is on an annual basis. I as an a worker in the cooperative, I'm getting my quote unquote share or of the profit on a regular basis. Yes,
That's
like my
correct.
best. Okay, got it. So that's very different. So cool. Good. I'm good. Please continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another piece of it too. So it's not as heavily regulated, right? Because any kind of qualified retirement plan, that means there has to be what's called a third party administrator. I'm sure you and your guests probably are familiar with the TPAs. So
Yeah,
there
of
has to be
course.
also like a trustee. So a trustee has to represent that trust. So that wouldn't be the case with the worker cooperative. So it can be more directly representative in the sense of like, those employees can serve on that board of directors. That could be the
Okay.
level of governance oversight. So it doesn't have to be any kind of a trustee in that relationship. And then the third and final kind that we've mentioned previously, which was Clegg Auto, that's the employee ownership trust. So this is also an indirect ownership. So there is a trust, there is a trustee, but
So
unlike the ESOP,
I own the trust and the trust owns the business. Is that for layman's terms?
yes, although the interesting, important piece about the EOT is that these are naked in, naked out transactions. So what that means is you actually don't have an individual share. So some people can test that word ownership with the EOT because they're like, well, if I don't have a share in my name, is that really ownership? We
Right.
think it is, and that's because of the culture that they're creating, right? Because that's what like Clegg Auto, like they're creating that culture of ownership, and they participate much more frequently, like the worker cooperative. So the EOT almost feels like the baby, right? Between the two, like if ESOP and a worker co-op had a baby, it feels like an EOT in many ways.
Okay. So, all right. So let's go back to this real quick. We get this and we're going to have to take a break in 2 minutes, but so let's get some of this in. We come to somebody, they come to the GA CEO and they're like, I heard about this. I think it's a great option. This is my way out because I love my people. I want to take care of my people and I'm not ready to go yet either. And I also don't want somebody to come in and close the place down or come in and move the factory to Des Moines from Long Island or whatever. No disrespect to Des Moines. Just don't move the factory because most people can't move to Des Moines.
They've
Although
already got good stuff in Des Moines. Yeah.
it's probably less expensive than trying to live here on Long Island, so maybe you want to go to Des Moines. I don't know. Sorry. Anyway, so like, what does that happen? They reach out to you. What's that first engagement? Let's do 2 minutes on it now, and then we'll take a break.
Okay,
Yeah. I
so.
mean, so that conversation, right? So we're coaching that business owner and just trying to get to the heart of the story for them, really. It's like, what is that legacy that they want? What is their motivation? What is their timeline? What level of, because oftentimes the business is sort of the single most important asset that somebody owns if they're a small business owner. Oftentimes that means that's their retirement plan, right? So we have to
Right.
set up a financial situation where the sale of that business will carry them through like other types of retirement options,
Right.
and also preserves that company. Just like you said, Tommy D, like we just got to keep those employees there. We want to keep this culture in place. We don't want to sell it. We don't want to strip for parts. Let's preserve all that. So we want to talk to that business owner and then get them on the path, right? So the professionals you were looking at the website, they're the ones who will help actually structure the deal. They'll go through more of the technical and the logistics of it, right? So we need attorneys and exit planners and estate planners. We need these folks to do a lot of that, technical work. But we'll be the ones kind of cheerleading them along the way.
I love that. And Marie, jump in because I felt like you had something to say. The website, everybody, is GACEO, and I'm showing you that if you're watching right now. this piece called Talk to a Professional. Marie, add to that if you had something.
I do. And I think the important distinction too is what Matthew was saying about the employee stock ownership plan is a retirement plan. But unlike a 401k, there's no limit to what that the it's the profits of the company that can go into the ESOP. Also, a common misnomer is that the employees have to pay for it. The employees pay nothing. They can't. It's illegal. The company puts the profits in the stock ownership plan and into the other entities. Also, they don't, in a traditional employee ownership plan, they don't have a vote. The board, just like any other company, the board sets it. Now, they might have a 401k where they can contribute and the company contributes. But an ESOP is a gift to an employee. It's really, they can't pay for it. And there's
now, there's a thing about, sorry to interrupt. There's a thing about taxation, right? Can you hit that part real quick? Or do you want to, is it going to, Matthew, can you do in 30 seconds about how that affects the seller real quick before we go to break?
Yeah, no, quickly. Right. So there's a couple of different kinds of tax. One of which, the most probably most important is capital gains tax. So we can actually 100% defer capital gains tax with what's called a 1042 rollover. And that works for two of the three types. So that's the ESOP and the worker co-op can both take a 1042 rollover.
Perfect. That's great. All right. Good to know. Maybe we'll get more into that in the final segment. We come back in the final segment. I want to talk about what is the organization offering from the perspective of technical assistance. More so, you know, there was things we talked about, Marie, the other day about webinars we can do, maybe with some CFPs, maybe some financial advisors, attorneys, different people like that. I will be probably after the new year, be down in Atlanta visiting some folks. So I want to come. I mean, Matthew, you're talking about all these cool CSAs and nonprofit things going on. I'm like, oh my God, man, I gotta get down there. We got to figure this out. I got some people down there in Dunwoody, like I've said. All right. So I actually have this, this hoodie that says Fun Woody on the back. There's like this little place. So anyway, gang, if you don't know, I don't know what to tell you. All right. So we will be right back. Philanthropy Focus. We'll bring it home. You tell me what's upcoming. How do we, I just shared something. You had something earlier this week, the 28th, which was the same day of the Long Island Imagine Awards. Plus it was 400 miles or 500 miles from where I was anyway. So I wasn't going to be there, but I want to hear about that because there's something I need to tell you all about. And we'll talk about it on Wednesday. But Sattell Institute that the three of us need to talk about next week. They're going to be doing some work down in Georgia as well. And it's a fully funded nonprofit organization focused on corporate social responsibility. I'm collaborating with them as an executive liaison. So we can talk about that when we're all together. But I figured I'd put it out there because others should check out Sattell Institute. Break time, Tommy. We'll be right back.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
This particular Friday, I did the long walk from my car to the new attic. Stop being silly, Tommy. Just run the show. Okay, fine. All right, let's go. We're in the new attic. Let's go. Tommy D, Philanthropy and Focus. Hit me up on email, TommyD@philanthropyandfocus.com. If you want to learn more about all the cool stuff I'm doing, the cool people I'm interviewing. What's upcoming for the organization and what is this from a national perspective and from a local perspective? What are some of the resources other than like the technical assistance, which we talked about? How do you partner up with, like I said, CFPs, things like that, like we talked about? Take that away. Whoever wants to start.
Yeah, well, this is a good segue.
Talk about the ambassador and the exit pro, if you would.
Yeah, I was going to say that's kind of the confluence of the two, right? Is so we've got a program coming up called the Employee Ownership Ambassador Program. So this is a chance over, it's a 4-week free training. So it's 1 hour live. And then we've got some online, you know, sort of asynchronous learning that we do as well that kind of put together about 8 hours in total. But yeah, the idea is that if it's a CFP or certified financial planner, if it's a CEPA, you know, certified exit planner, CPAs, we're actually super excited about CPAs coming to join us. So it's a chance for our professional community to learn more about the ins and outs of these three types of employee ownership that I was just explaining. And I really love the way that we do that, Tommy. So basically what we do is we always pair a business owner who's actually gone through the transition, they've lived it, they did it, with a service provider who actually helped them on the technical side. So we always want to pair those two together, like the lived experience and somebody who does it professionally, to really explain it and bring it home for people of like, what is it? Why are we doing it? How are we doing it? So that's what we'll do for 4 weeks. And that's in November, starting November 6th. And it's totally online. So if any of your listeners want to join us, it's the website is athens.gaceo.org.
Perfect. All right, good. Athens.gaceo.org.
That's right.
I just want to call it out again for folks. We'll put it with the, you know, the description here on the program and the program notes and everything like that. But let's talk about really who they would connect with if they want more information. Marie, is it you? Matthew, Marie, tell me about that. How do we get connected? Obviously, you go to the website, as we talked about, but what other ways?
So Matthew we coerced him into working with us. He's a contractor, but he is hired to specifically run the Athens project, which was an ARPA funds. And because Matthew is so well known in the industry and just very, very knowledgeable, he helps me in all kinds of areas, but he is specifically hired for the Athens area. So he's running this ambassador program, but again, it's online. Anybody can do it. And I want him to talk about the Exit Pro 101, which is a continuing ed program for CPAs and CEPAs. It's a free event, 1 hour, and it gives them a deck of information about how to talk to their customers, because they clearly don't know about
Exit Pro 101. And it's really how to speak to customers. You were going to say, Marie, sorry to interrupt you. There's that. What you're
saying? Yes. So we want CPAs. Let's just say a company comes to their CPA and says, we need succession planning. If the CPA doesn't know anything about employee ownership, they're going to send them to, you know, an M&A person or, you know, a lawyer or whatever. We want them to know about employee ownership and that we exist. So if they come to us, we're going to put them with professionals. And so it is a free continuing ed. And if there's anybody listening that's a CPA or a CEPA, they can contact me, or really they should probably just go to the GACEO website, because Matthew's going to get it anyway. It doesn't matter. We're working very closely together.
I love that. And Matthew, can hit me with that exit program, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if the ambassador that I was just kind of explaining was sort of the drip coffee, then Exit Pro is the espresso. So it's the 1 hour hit. So it's going to give you the deep dive as quickly as we possibly humanly can. And it's really tailored, just like Marie said, toward professionals. And so we're really emphasizing the way that we become a value add for your toolbox as a professional. Yeah. So you're already doing small business advising, you already do some kind of succession planning, you're talking to small business owners. We want to put employee ownership in your toolbox and make it another thing you can offer your clients. You don't have to become the MBA, but you'll be ready. You'll be ready.
Yeah, I think that's I think it's critically important there. I mean, listen, this is not a conversations that I'm involved with, but I'm super curious. I would want to plug into this information. Why? Because it makes me more of an asset to the people in my community. I'm out at this M&T Bank event last night, and I run into a CPA who I hadn't seen in years, whose business card's right here on my desk, because I got to send him an email. So that's now, if I know this, I now can have a more interesting, informed conversation with somebody. It doesn't mean I'm going to set somebody up in an ESOP, not what I do, but I can get, what do you know about this? How, you know what I just learned? And that's where I think we become really valued, trusted advisors to each other. I have a friend of mine who referred me two pieces of business this week, and she is a CPA, and she is in Georgia. And that's so this is just what happens, and we'll make that connection. But like, my point of being deliberate, like with my speech there, is to say, of course, like that's it. You know, Robert Rosner, who we talked about earlier, life insurance guy for many, many years. Ridiculously connected to people in the community down there, knows many, many people. like me, likes to learn, likes to be educational for others, right? So the more we know, the more we can impact other people. Anything specific that, like, on a national basis, like, I know the thing you had recently, just this week, is there a national convention that folks should plug into? Like, what about that kind of stuff?
We're in the process of, we will be planning a regional, some regional events next year. But if they're really interested in employee ownership, get involved with one of the state centers, because, for instance, the Ohio Center has a lot of conferences. The Georgia Center is too young. But you asked me about, and I know we're running out of time, but you asked me about the event we had this week. October is Employee Ownership Month and Cooperative Development Month. So every year we have an event, and our partners this year, we had the president of the Georgia Chamber come and speak. It was phenomenal. We had it at a very Georgia institute called the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs. We want to get in front of all those entrepreneurs. We had someone come and do ESOP 101. They were supposed to do Co-op 101, but we never got there. But we presented awards to the new companies. Clegg Auto came all the way from Utah to receive the award. And so, you know, and I think Matthew just put in the chat, Austin, Texas, our Texas center is having their first regional. So, you know, just connect with me. Let me know where you are. Matthew and I will help you find an event wherever you are.
Yeah. And it's a very collaborative ecosystem. So yeah, even if you're not in Georgia, we'll definitely get you in touch with the right folks.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And well, isn't that networking? I mean, I am the nonprofit sector connector. So this is what I'm all about, man. I'm also the for-profit sector connector, but you know, that wasn't specific enough. So I went and told and named myself this. Who knew that it would be a thing? People introduce me that way now. And it's just, it's how it happened, you know? Listen, we're going to leave it there. This has been an awesome interview. It's been an awesome conversation. I mean, these are never really interviews. They're conversations, you know, and it's just, I learned so much. 1 week it's a food pantry. The next week it's an organization serving people with intellectual developmental disabilities. The next week it's Project NYC, empowering young people in Queens, part of New York City. For those of you who don't know what that is, Queens, let's go Mets, by the way. Now my friends in Atlanta are like, Tommy, really? We're going to have the Met hat on the whole time. And now you're going to say, let's go Mets at the end of the show. Anyway, Marie Davis, Matthew Epperson, I appreciate you both. We're going to do some fun stuff together. I'm excited to know you. I'm only as strong as the power of the connections, relationships I have. Shout out to my friend Kathy Smith, who made this introduction and connection. Final words, anything you got to say before you go?
Thank you so very much.
We're stronger together. Appreciate you, Tommy.
You're welcome. Yes, we are stronger together. Make it a great day, everybody. I am the one and only, the nonprofit sector connector. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.